two summers ago, my older brother was with his wife at the Walnut Creek Amphitheater in Raleigh, and he had purchased tickets to Earth, Wind & Fire Chicago. It was a joint concert, and he was there with just many other middle-aged people and jamming to a, I mean, it's funny. I mean, you know, you'll have, you know, a few walkers there and kind of, and I kid you not, I went with him one time and there was a guy that had their cane like this, you know. But anyway, they were just celebrating an era gone by, enjoying the hits of the 70s and the 80s. And it was packed full of people. And they were having a good time. And it's, you know, it's pretty long because you have two bands that are having to interweave and go back and forth. But before the concert was over, they decided to leave a bit early. And as he was turning to leave, he got a little bit dizzy and a little bit queasy. And then all of a sudden, blam, he's out. I mean, he passes out. He faints and hits his head on the hard pavement. And then he comes to rather quickly, and all these people are kind of doing this number. I mean, that's kind of weird when all of a sudden you wake up and you're looking at all these faces, you know, around you, looking at you, kind of concerned. And he goes, and I was so embarrassed by it all these folks looking at me. And anytime you have these concerts or an event like this, you'll have the EMS off in the corner somewhere, you know, just in case something like this happens. So sure enough, the EMS folk had to come and had to get him up, and they carried him to their ambulance and checked everything, checked his vitals, and pretty much went through just kind of the regular grid of what to look at, and then drove him in the ambulance to their car in that huge parking area and allowed his wife to just go ahead and drive them home, because they deduced when it was all said and done that he just simply got dehydrated. And that's all it was. He got dehydrated and he fainted and passed out. I don't know if anyone here has ever experienced that before, but at any rate, that's all it was. And so he did not anticipate, and again, we have some hot summers here. We've been in the 90s all week. But he didn't anticipate before the event by hydrating, and he didn't hydrate during the event. Sometimes you can't quite feel it coming on, but it was a very, very hot concert. And the operative words for us here today are before and during. And I want to entitle this morning, Hydrate Your Disposition. Hydrate your disposition. Up to 75% of our body weight is water. So we can just blame it on the water, all right? It isn't me, it's all that water. It's just all that water. And most of that water is found within the cells of our bodies. And obviously, our bodies need water to function, do they not? So dehydration occurs when our water loss is greater than our water intake. And we are constantly losing water, whether you realize it or not. That's the case. And so hydration is key. My 83-year-old mother, whom many of y'all know, I think she is the most hydrated person I know. I mean, when she comes to visit us, there are water bottles everywhere. And she'll ask for another one before she's finished the one in her hand. And so when she leaves, I go around and I collect all the half-drunken water bottles that I know are hers, because her ruby red lipstick is on all the little tops and is on all the caps. So I don't have to say, does this belong to y'all, because I always have my glass that I carry, my tumbler. And but I mean, they're just, and that it's a good thing, but that woman is flat hydrating all the times. And I mean, we know that they are hers. You know, the evidence is all around. I know we got the evidence. They belong to the woman. So anyway, it is a smart thing, it's a wise thing. Even when we fast, it's imperative that we drink plenty of liquids. We always tell people when we do a little education about seasons of fasting. When Jesus fasted for 40 days, it says Jesus hungered. It didn't say he thirsted. It says that he hungered. So again today, hydrate your disposition. Summertime is hot. Can you say hot? Woo, hot, hot, hot. It's also marked by traveling, and for many, spending time with extended family. How many of y'all have done a little bit of that so far? You've had a little bit of time with family or extended family so far this summer. And I don't know if you've noticed, but spending time with family, extended family, vacationing together, being thrown together for a period of time can be an interesting thing. Can you say interesting thing? As tongue in cheek. I mean, we love our family. Our family is good. Thank you, Lord. But have you noticed that it can be a little interesting, or is it just me? I mean, family can be so wonderful, yet also can get cranky, grumpy, crabby at the same time as many personalities are thrown together. I mean, you choose your own synonym: irritable, grouchy, crotchety. I like that, crotchety. You know, testy, crusty, cantankerous, prickly. And again, when you're in a close quarters for, you know, several days, it may not happen on day one, may not happen on day two, but eventually, you know, just life kind of shows itself in interstage right, you know, a tale of two cities. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. In other words, you can have both dynamics at play. And so here you are, you were saved and on your way to heaven until you got around those extended folk in a close space for several days. Several days. So I'm on the front end of mine, so you can't accuse me that I'm coming off of a vacation sharing that. I'm just speaking in generalities here, but it applies to all. One person humorously put it like this: hosting family is like fish. After 3 days, they start stinking. So anyway, that's not absolutely true, but there's, you know, we're just having a little fun here today, but there's some application, I'm sure. But certainly in life generally, just dealing with humanoids generally. And in these moments and in many other moments in life, we would be better off if we would thoroughly hydrate first. Thoroughly hydrate first. And if we forget, we too may be somewhat tempted to faint. Remember, before and during. Spiritually hydrating and nourishing our lives before and during certain events can make all the difference in the world. Have you ever embarked on a trip and all of a sudden hit your brain, I better pray up for this? You know, and there's some things, you know, you would think, now that doesn't really require prayer. And then you get there and you're like, dear Lord, my oil level's low. I should have gotten prayed up before stepping into this situation or this scenario. So the hydrating nourishment of the word and prayer goes a long way and produces a marked difference in our disposition. Because when we're given to it, I don't know about you, but most people find themselves softer, more secure, less defensive, protected. We do early morning prayer at Cap Trust from 6 to 7 every Friday morning. And I came out of that prayer meeting and I could tell the walls had gone up around my soul. I could tell I was better leaving than when I came. There was something in the spirit due to sowing to the Lord in that 1 hour that I came out a better man. You say measure it. Well, I can't measure it other than I just know in my disposition something shifted due to that time before the Lord. And again, it keeps us from being testy, keeps us from being cantankerous. It helps us to release people more easily. We more easily can pull barbs out of our own heart and out of our own soul where life just happens all around us. And I know in theory, when there's certain events that we participate in or go to, or if it is actually a literal vacation with extended folk or not, you know, there are times that we could deduce, I should not have to put on the full armor of God to go to that event. You ever thought that? I should not have to, I mean, really, this is bad. This is an indictment that I'm having to put on the full armor just to go hang out with these folk or just to go be in that situation, you know. But in reality, we do, don't we? I mean, ideally, you wouldn't think so, but it's just smart to be prayed up or to be hydrated, as it were. It's a wise thing to do. Here's the thing. Just count on the possibility that no one else there, wherever it is you're going, just count on the possibility that no one else there will be hydrated spiritually. I'm not talking about in fatalism, but just don't assume that that'll be the case. Don't assume they'll be nourished. So all the more you get hydrated to have enough strength for yourself, for the situation, and for everyone else. In other words, store up so that you can live off the overflow. And when Cantankerous Susie or Crusty Fred start, you know, manifesting that Adamic nature, we navigate it in a more godly way. And things just don't seem to penetrate. It's like Teflon skin. It's like holy callousness, where it's easy to bless and curse not. It's easy to respond in a Christ-like way. How many of y'all have ever been in an event before and someone has said, is there an adult in the room? Have y'all ever had one of those? You know, is there an adult in the room? I mean, our sweet Mary Ivy, I mean, some people are just kind of, she was always kind of just born mature with an older soul, I think, plus some of it's just godliness of the fruit of the Spirit. But there have been many times I thought, you are the adult in the room here. I mean, you know, we're here with 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds, you know, 80-year-olds, you know, in our extended family. I'm like, thank God, you're the adult in the room. And it's a good thing that we can laugh, but it's good to store up so that we can live out of the overflow, sharing even our fountain with others, to trim our lamps with ample oil for all and whatever comes. And here's the thing. It only takes one person to move in a real spirit of peace. It only takes one person to be the adult in the room that I just referenced. Therefore, we hydrate. And preventative is always better than dealing with something in the moment unprepared. Be smart to do this, even if we don't have to make a demand on it. You know, in God's economy, Proverbs 17:1 says, better a dry morsel with quietness and peace than a house full of feasting with strife. In other words, there's something powerful about peace that all the party can't produce if there's strife involved. Peace is a powerful thing. Therefore, we hydrate. We nourish ourselves with the word of the Lord, with prayer, partaking upon the Lord himself. Go with me, if you would, to Psalm 63. If you don't have a Bible, we'll throw it up on the screen for you. You doing okay? All right. Is this just in my experience, or anyone here understand kind of some of these dynamics? Psalm 63, verse 1. Here the psalmist, this was David actually, who said, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you, my soul, what? Thirst for you, my body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no, what? Water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. Verse 5, my soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Change our lives, we ask. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In a dry and weary land where there's no water. Earnestly seeking the Lord. Why? My soul thirsts for the wet places and the fullness of the things of the Lord and the Lord Himself. But I just love verse 5 here that reads, my soul will be satisfied. That is a very rich statement. My soul will be satisfied. That is so loaded. When our soul is satisfied, we're not crabby. We're not cranky. We're happy, happy, happy. Hello. There's just something. When we're full, when we're satisfied, small things stay small. When we're not satisfied, small things become big. I mean, no one can do anything right. Hello. The smallest little infraction. But to the satisfied soul, they're looking at life through a different lens and a different prism. Because they're prospering in their soul, all seems to be good in their world as far as how they relate. So, oh, for a satisfied soul. I mean, you think, what would the world look like if everyone had one? What would marriages look like? What would parenting look like? What would the work environment look like? What would the political world look like if everyone had a satisfied soul? I mean, there is more carnage and bludgeoning just due to an empty soul, where had it been full, everything would have been fine. So much less scorched earth around. So the soul, hydrate the soul. James 4, 1 through 2 asks the question, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle where? Within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have, because you want. But you cannot have because you want what? You do not have because you do not ask God. You can have it, but you do not. You quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask the Lord. In other words, it's for the taking. It's available. But the satisfied soul doesn't feel the fight. It doesn't need the fight. Y'all ever seen Ben-Hur, the original one, not the one that came out a couple years ago, the one with Charlton Heston, by chance? Anyone seen the? It is a classic. You'll need a couple of hours. And it doesn't ever show Jesus fully on his face. He's passing through town, and there's water that's being given, and he just gets around Jesus, and you can tell he's around someone different and someone other, as it were. But he just happened to be at the foot of the cross, and he had his mother and sister were leprous, and they were hiding, and he had been in conflict all of his life because what had been done to him. But when he watched Jesus die and he watched the way he died, he made a comment to his mother and his sisters. It said, he took the sword out of my hand. Just the way he died, he took that fight out. You see, a satisfied soul will do that. It'll do that. Like the old slogan, be a lover, not a fighter. A satisfied soul is a happy soul. But how do I get my soul happy? Let's go back to the psalmist. Listen to this attitude and this passion in Psalm 42, 1 through 2. It reads, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. When can I go and meet with God? Wow, what a question. What hunger. This is someone who is eager to get their interior world satisfied and full by asking, when can I go? When can I go? I'm so hungry and meet with God. What a question. So you see these operative words here, soul, meat, water, God. And I would add hydrate. This is a blueprint, a divine recipe. He went on in the passage to say, I pour out my soul with shouts of joy and thanksgiving. You see, deep calls unto deep. The well in you touching the well of God. And we need the well of God, or we'll always be lacking. Now, we can go on a little bit of a reservoir for a while, but there's just something about the deep in you touching the deep in God that so satisfies and it fills us up. And it just changes our inner constitution. It changes our emotional chemistry. It changes how we relate with people. It changes how we handle trial, whether we do it in a godly way or in a fleshly, carnal way. It changes our perspective of how we view something as being short-lived versus just, this is the rule of my life. You see, it just changes. It's a game changer when we connect with God in this way. Deep calls unto deep. Jesus told the woman at the well in John 4. We know the story. He answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And then later we know in that passage, she asked, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. And ultimately he answered, I am he. I'm it. I am that living water. You're not going to thirst the way you thirsted before. You're going to have new passions that are godly passions. But that emptiness in you is going to be satisfied. That restlessness in you is going to be satisfied. That lack of peace and tranquility, that angst and anxiety in you is going to be satisfied. I'm going to satisfy that. And you're not going to be driven anymore because you're satisfied. Did y'all ever see the movie The Adjustment Bureau with Matt Damon, who was running for political office, and they were trying to get him away from this particular woman because they thought if he meets her, he'll lose his ambition. This is like there were these powers of fate. They almost look like angels. But if he meets her, he'll be satisfied and he'll lose that drive. He won't be as, you know, anxious to be ambitious in that way and to climb, as it were. But there are many negative things that push and drive that don't have to be there when there's a happy soul. He's the living waters. A few chapters over, we find in John 7, verses 37 and 38. Here it reads, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him. In other words, if we get around God, that well in God is now transferred to us, and now we have a well. Rivers of water will bubble up out of us. We'll have a fountain on the inside wherever we go, not just to nourish and to hydrate our own life, but to hydrate others around us, to take care of the crusty, cantankerous, snarky, grumbling, grumpy. Hello? There's enough. You see, one soul at peace can change the whole environment, you see. But he said, let him come to whom? Let him come to me. Streams of living water. It has the ability to quell hell around us. You ever been in a situation when it's just kind of, and then there's one godly person who just won't respond according to the flesh? It's a marked difference, isn't it? They have the opportunity, but yet somehow they're on some higher ground, some plane. They're in some reality that we're not in. It's like, that's the strength of God at work. Wow. That's the fruit of the Spirit that's been cultivated. Wow. That's patience. As we've quoted before, how Thomas A. Kempis said, many commend patience, but few are willing to suffer. It's easy to honor at a distance certain virtues, but oh, that they would work themselves and be cultivated in our lives. And it just takes one person to change a whole atmosphere. One person to take the high ground. One person to turn the other cheek. One person to give the gentle answer. Have you ever had a cantankerous answer and someone responded in a gentle answer and immediately you felt conviction? Good. I have too. My godly wife. And like she won't go there. And I'm like, come on, fight his own. There has to be an adult in the room, right? Thank God for it. Living waters. Living waters. Hydrate. Hydrate. When we hydrate, the embers and flames of hell are put out. Our own unrighteous fires die down, and it helps to bring that measure of peace and quell the other anxious, unrighteous fires around us. I mean, I said it here many times about turbulence on a plane, and the pilot comes on and says, we're just experiencing some temporary turbulence. We'll be out of this shortly. Thank you. And you're like, well, if he's okay, then we're going to be okay. It just takes one, whether they're lying or not. I hope they're not, you know. But we've said that if they come running through the aisle, we're breaking up. We're going to die, you know. That's not going to minister peace, is it? Just one adult in the room. Just one competent soul who really knows the score. Who's been feeding into a knowledge, a set of knowledge higher than what we know. Most passengers don't know what they know in the cockpit. So we're trusting them that those instruments are telling the truth. It's the same way when we get in this word, we're trusting that the instrument is telling us the truth. I want to freak out, but this says I shouldn't because God is faithful. It says that if I put my trust in Him, I'll not be dismayed or be disappointed. But everything in me is screaming, freak. But this is going, no, peace. And then we have to make a decision. But as we marinate and as we get around it, as we read it, and it's good to read it out loud, and as we pray it and spend a little time tending to our garden, then all of a sudden the reality of this becomes our new reality. And it's like, wow, did the circumstance change? No, I did. Now I'm on a higher plane. That gunk is still there. That attitude is still over there. But I'm higher than it all. I'm above the fray. Man, it's like it's good up here. It's like the airplane when it's just all ugly and you finally pierce the clouds and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, I didn't know this was all up here. This is beautiful here. And we've been seated together with Him in heavenly places. It's nice up here. And it's a by faith thing. Be at peace, oh my soul. Hydrate. So that we don't faint. You see. Why? Because it's hot in life. It's hot in the workplace. It's hot on the campus. It's hot in our family relations sometimes. It can be hot, but oh, there's nourishment to keep us strong, you see. The flames are put out first in us, then in the situation. Then in others, then others start partaking of the fruit from our life. We said it before that when a tree bears fruit, the tree doesn't eat it. There are others that come by and they pick the fruit. So when someone is moving in the fruit of the Spirit, just by getting in proximity to them, it makes me better. I'm like, wow, there's modeling right there. And there's a transference of godliness and righteousness, and it helps bring composure to whatever may be going down. One person with a spirit of peace due to a satisfied soul sets the thermostat and changes the whole atmosphere. It's like I have every right to just want to hit the eject button or whatever, as it were. It's like, no, by faith, I trust this. The spirit of peace knows no age. It can be a child full of God. certain dynamics at work, a gentle answer is powerful in a testy atmosphere. Powerful. Water does wonders. Water does wonders. The water of His Word, the water of prayer, presence. We know a husband and wife in marriage is a picture of Christ and His church. Jesus helps His bride, the church. We read about this in Ephesians 5. Here when Paul said, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing or washing her with the washing with water through the Word." In other words, Jesus is helping His bride, the church, by cleansing her, washing her with the water of the Word. So when there's cantankerous, crabby, cranky, grumpy, then we get in this Word, there's a washing, a cleansing, a spiritual shower, as it were, and it sets the thermostat. It washes that gunk as we accumulate constantly. Remember Peanuts, the cartoon? Remember Pigpen? There was always funk just around him. All day, wherever he went, just flies, dirt, and dust, just like he was just like, you know, a walking landfill, you know, just stuff all around. But see, those birds of the air can be swatted away once we look up and see what God says. It's like it breaks the back of the enemy. And that's why Jesus said in His temptation, "It is written. It is written. Look, Mr. Devil, look, it is written." He began to quote scripture and it would drive him out. It would drive him out. It would drive him out. And we're washed and we're cleansed. And that reality now holds us as it's an anchor to our soul. How's the church made clean? This washing through the water of the Word. Prayer hydrates. The Word hydrates. God's presence and friendship hydrate. In the summertime, we need it. In close proximity to others, we need it. To effectively play the game of life, we need it. I mean, any good coach, athletic coach, will encourage their athletes to stay hydrated. We used to say, I ran cross country, wrestled, and played tennis, but they would say about wrestling, no one appreciates a glass of water more than a wrestler. You know, especially when you've been on that mat and you're in the bottom position. But, you know, it's just smart. Stay hydrated. I mean, you can just burn up water just like that through exertion. But any good coach encourages this. Just like Psalm 1, the tree that we read about in Psalm 1 that's planted by what? Streams of water which yield its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he, she does prospers. It says in Psalm 1 that the tree is planted there, not just visiting once in a while and frequenting it once in a while, in and out, but planted there. The tree planted by streams of water will produce this good fruit. It's like the river of God we find in Ezekiel 47 coming down from the throne of God. And it declares that wherever the river flows, everything will live. And it talks about how it pours out into the Arabah or the Dead Sea. I've been in the Dead Sea. Nothing lives in the Dead Sea. You can't even submerge yourself in the Dead Sea. Everybody is buoyant because the salt is so dense. I mean, it's one thing to float on your back, but it's another thing just to vertically float like a cork. I mean, it's like you can't go under. It's so dense. But this is saying this river of God that comes out of His throne, even when it pours into the Dead Sea, whatever it touches, everything will live. That's powerful. That's nourishment. That's refreshment. That's what the presence of the Lord does. It declares fruit trees. And you can read this later in Isaiah 47. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. See, again, hydration helps others. The leaves of this tree will provide healing. That's synonymous with the river of life, we read about in Revelation 22 when John said, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves are for the healing of the nations." Dear me, we need to be hydrated for ourselves, for our neighbors, for our city, but here the context in Revelation is for the nations. The leaves are for the healing of the nations. Water of life, wells of life, washed in the water of the Word, waters of worship and prayer, raising the proper levels in our lives. How many of y'all know that when our levels are off, life isn't good? Hello? Many times we can just blame it on that. Yeah, my level's off. Yeah, you know. And there's true. There's the physiological things that can affect us. But we can still appeal to God, even in that, to level off. So, again, hydration. Finally, Psalm 87, 5 through 7. And I love this because it says it so well. Love this. Here the psalmist says, "Indeed, of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High Himself will establish her. The Lord will write in the register of the peoples, this one was born in Zion. As they make music, they will sing, all my fountains are in you." I love that. What are we drinking from? What are we partaking of? What are we looking to for help? Where do we get our fix from? I mean, we can do all kind of activities, but they'll never produce the stability and the peace that only God can produce. And that's why the psalmist said, all my fountains, they're in you. All my fountains, all that which is real, all that which is helpful, all that which is refreshing, all that which replenishes, all that which sets me on course and keeps my feet on a solid, solid place. I know in 1997, we had a team from this amazing move of God that visited us in Guam. And they had been under this outpouring for 2 years. They had been under that fountain as there was an open heaven in this location. And they had been under that fountain for so long that they would just carry it wherever they went. And then it would break out wherever they would go, having been under that holy spigot, as it were. And we too, like the psalmist, want to have presence of mind to realize all of my true fountains, they are in you. And when I need my soul satisfied, and when I need my soul watered, I'm going to get it from you. I don't always want to go there. I want to go to other places to get it. You know, you go to the refrigerator and you open it up. Nothing happened since the last time I looked, you know. Oh, we put on Netflix. All right, that was just okay. But you're still kind of, you know, and then we call up somebody, talk to them a little bit, you know, and then we go here. And all of that's all good, well, and fine, but it cannot refresh like the capital F fountain can. And we try to draw life from different things, and some things are permitted. I mean, you look at creation. It's beautiful. We're to enjoy what God has created as we ponder and muse on the majesty and the handiwork of the Lord. But there's nothing like going to the Creator Himself to satisfy us and to cause us to mark up once again. All of my fountains are in you. And when we're tempted to faint and fall and bust our head, and then the EMS and everyone's looking, we need to think, no, 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 hydrate. I'm going to hydrate my... Why? Because it's hot. When we get in sticky situations, whatever they may be, you can fill in your own blank, but the principles still apply. Hydrate, hydrate. And we just need to tell ourselves, nope, I'm going to hydrate. You know, and all this stuff is crowding in, pressing up. Nope, I'm going to hydrate. The enemy's lying, lying, lying. Nope, nope, not going to listen to you. I'm going to hydrate on the Word, prayer, presence, people of God, worship. Nope, 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 nope. I'm going to nourish my soul. I'm going to be satisfied. And when I'm satisfied, everything's fine. It hadn't gone away, but it's fine. Does that make sense? It didn't move a lick, but it's okay. Why? Because I'm okay. And when I'm okay, it's okay. That's the higher reality. All is well in my soul. Remember the Shulamite woman? All is well. All is well. It was far from well, but she was operating off another plane. You see, all is well. All is well. Something in me has touched something in God, and it recalibrated my reality. Spiritual things are more real, y'all, than what we see. The things that we see are temporal and subject to change, but that which is invisible is eternal. It's the invisible that created the visible. So my confidence in this invisible God, based on His word and His promise, is more substantive than that what I see. And it's this what I see, it's subject to change, it's temporal, it's fleeting, it's seasonal. But as I keep hydrating and pouring water and getting my pores and cells soaked, and you know, when you worship the Lord, you're soaking yourself. When a cucumber is put in pickle juice, it becomes a pickle because it marinated in that substance. And when we marinate in the Lord, we smell different. Everything's different. And there's a new reality in us. And we need it. And we can be the adult in the room. Let's stand up together. Let's receive. Let's hydrate. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Father, we just say yes to the life-giving wells of refreshing and refreshment and salvation and healing and deliverance. Set our thermostats afresh, Lord, we ask. Lord, it's hot, therefore all the more. When there's heat, when there's pressure, potential conflict, personalities, when there's grumpy this, cranky that, Lord, I thank you. We can be hydrated. And the spirit of peace that becomes an anchor so solidifies our stance and our walk that we're on a whole different plane. And then that new reality leavens the circumstance and the people where now we're a source of life to those around us. So it's not merely for us. Now there are others partaking of that spirit on us because we're hydrated. We're full. We're soaked. We've marinated. There's a new smell, a new taste, a new grace, a new hope, a new strange confidence, a new kick in our step, a new joy and gladness, the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, let it come. Let it come down upon us. Let it come down on our heads. Thank you for a satisfied soul that only you can give. Only you. Only you. All my fountains are in you. Just tell him at your seat right now. Just say, Lord, water me. Just tell him. Just ask him, Lord, water me. Water me. Water me. Just turn it up. Just turn it up, Lord. Let it go from a trickle to an outpouring. Lord, even a deluge. Refresh, strengthen, bolster, stabilize. Fill us. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with life, living water. O river of God, run right through us. And wherever the river flows, everything will live. Everything will live. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I just pronounce just that new reality over everyone, new grace, fresh strength, powerful peace. It even passes understanding. It transcends it. Lord, even as John said, I desire above all else that you be in health and prosper even as your soul prospers. We thank you for prosperity of soul. Lord, we just hydrate on you. Pour into us. Pour into us. Pour into us. Pour into us. Pour into us.